and Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning, live from Saratoga, our gorgeous clear court set on a gorgeous Saturday morning in Saratoga, the last Saturday of the season, unfortunately. Always a little bittersweet, but it's a great day of racing ahead. Three racing days still to go, so still plenty of opportunity. If you haven't been up yet, come on up. Today's going to be a nice day, a couple days still, Sunday and Monday. So again, we'd love to see you up here. You can also take advantage of the Clubhouse Racebook, which is a fan appreciation day today. If you swing on by, first 100 folks through the door get a quick pick, $2 quick pick on the Jockey Club Gold Cup. There'll be some food available at about 1:30 while supplies last, so keep that in mind as well. But again, great day to come up to the track. Today here on the show, a little bit later on, we caught up with Steve Asmussen. Thursday, had him in for kind of an extended interview, and we'll play that at about the bottom of the hour, so check that out. A little bit before that, Phil Serpy will join us. I've been trying to get him in for the past couple of weeks since he won the Queen's Plate. We'll talk a little bit about safe conduct going north of the border and winning their big race up there. But to start the show today, Norm Cassie joins us. Trainer Norm Cassie has a player in tomorrow's spin away, and so we'll talk a little bit about Pretty Birdie and more. Norm, good morning.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure.
Happy to have you on and talk a little bit about, as I say, Proud Birdie, a couple other horses as well. But let's just talk some general thoughts right now. Proud Birdie, we're going to show a race of hers from earlier up here at the meet. So you've had runners up here at the meet so far. But at this time of year, are you based out at Ellis right now?
Well, actually, we have 18 stalls here.
Okay.
But I came up here kind of with the intention of, you know, I don't have enough horses to run multiple starts here at Saratoga, right? Because I really want to focus on Churchill and Kingland. So came up here, ran the majority of the horses that I brought up here one time, with Pretty Birdie being the actual only exception. And, you know, just kind of more or less coming up here, trying to make a name for myself, trying to have some legitimate runners, but not necessarily ruining the rest of the year just to show off here, you know. So it's kind of went the way that we were expecting it to go.
And you did have some runners at Ellis this summer, though.
Yeah, oh yeah. So half the stable is based here. The other half is based at Ellis, and it seems to be working out really well.
How has it worked out down in Kentucky? Because there was the whole situation that everybody had to move out of Churchill with the renovations going on.
It was a little bit cumbersome, I guess you could say, or a little bit irritating, but also it was necessary. Yeah. The turf course renovation was long overdue at Churchill. I think the majority of us knew that it was a necessary evil, so just put our head down, realize it was a one summer type deal, and you know, and we'll all be better off for it.
Opening day, I think, is the same opening day as Belmont, the 16th down at Churchill. When do you guys get to move back in?
We get to move back in on the 9th.
Okay.
I should say that we get to move in the 8th, but the first day of training is the 9th. And I think we're all a little bit apprehensive about moving in right away because they have been doing a lot of work over there. So I think we're a little bit apprehensive of how the main track's going to be the first couple days once they start letting us all over there. This is kind of unprecedented. But Churchill will have everything figured out.
Talk a little bit also, we had your father in earlier, of course, for folks who aren't familiar and maybe new to the game. I always think we get some new people who watch during the Saratoga season. Maybe we're bringing in some new fans. But your father, of course, Mark Cassie, you were a longtime assistant. Now you're out on your own. Talk a little bit about how it's been going out on your own as a trainer over the past couple of seasons.
Just, you know, it's difficult, but at the same time, it's really rewarding. It's kind of everything that I expected. I wouldn't say that anything's really caught us off guard. All I can say is that the way it's kind of gone the way that we thought it would, and hopefully we'll keep adding on to what we've been doing.
That was one of the things I was going to ask. Was there anything unexpected for you going off on your own? But you were an assistant for your father for so long, I think you've probably seen it all.
The only thing that was really that, and I think Dad would probably reiterate this when I say this, but the only time I ever really called Dad and talked to him for advice is the business side of stuff. That's the stuff that people don't really understand or appreciate with these trainers. You're running $1 million yeah. business. You got money coming in and out like you wouldn't can't quite understand and wrap your head around sometimes. And that type of stuff was thing that kind of caught me off guard, although Dad had kind of prepared me for that, had already warned me. You hear trainers say it all the time, you better have a ton of money to do this. And it's true, you better have some things in place. But as far as the horses are concerned, I knew when I left Dad, I was confident. I was never going to leave until I knew I was ready, and I left at the right time.
Yeah, I've said that before, and I'm glad you made the point, because I think people, even longtime fans of the game, you think of a trainer and you think, hey, it's a sport and you're training, but you're running a small business.
I saw a quote from Kenny McPeak the other day, and I thought it was pretty appropriate. It says, people think it's just about wins and losses, but it's a lot about payables and receivables, too. And it's true. Like, my morning usually typically starts, I obviously come in, I check the horses, make sure everybody was okay from the day before. Then I go and I read the TDN or the blood horse, make sure I'm caught up with everything that happened the day before. And then the next thing I do is I'm going to check my QuickBooks and all my bank accounts and everything to see where we are financially, because that's just as important as anything else. I mean, it's an interesting way to live, and, you know, I'm very excited to do it.
Yeah, as I said, I think people don't realize it's a small business, employees and equipment and whatnot. I'm glad you made that point. And just before we get to, again, Pretty Birdie and a couple of the other horses, one more note. Your father inducted into the Hall of Fame after a little bit of a delay last year. There were two classes inducted. What did that mean to the family? I mean, I had him in, and clearly it meant a lot to him.
He that was Dad's goal for a really, really long time. I'm just happy to be in part, just a little bit part of that success. I'm very proud of Dad. I know we're all very proud of Dad, and hopefully he can keep adding more and more to the scoreboard.
You certainly see that in the future, and now you carry on the legacy and carried it on very successfully a little bit earlier in the meet. We'll look at the Grade 3 Schuylerville win in a moment, but I wanted to go through the two-race career of Pretty Birdie, so I'm going to pull up the maiden breaker in the career debut first. She's going to be the number 4 horse here in silks that are very familiar to Saratoga fans. You're racing for the Mary Lou Whitney stable, which is great as well, that as we get to the Schuylerville. But talk a little bit about this first victory, again, in the Eaton Blue there. Very familiar silks. Getting it done, always impressive when it's a career debut victory. Did you foresee this? Did you see the talent in the morning for her?
We did, yeah. I was really excited about running her. Just her gait works kind of really showed what she had. She's got a really, really efficient stride. And she's quick, but she doesn't have to be. Like, I don't know how to exactly explain it, but she just seems like she has gear. So when you ask her, she gives you a little more. And it looks so efficient. So going into the maiden race, we were really, really excited and thought we had a big, big shot of winning. Ultra professional, she looked really, really good. And she delivered the way that we thought she would.
Yeah, that was an impressive, certainly, debut effort down at Churchill. She comes out of that with a nice 78 buyer, heads up to the Grade 3 Schuylerville. She'll be the number 1 horse here. Nice to start out the Saratoga meet with a graded stakes victory. Luis Saez on board, again, with the Mary Lou tie-in. It was a fun race to win up at Saratoga. Was your game plan always to, when you came out of that maiden victory, to head up here to the stakes action up at Saratoga?
Basically, and we knew what we were as soon as I had told John that if we were fortunate enough that she broke her maiden that day at Churchill, that she would run in the Schuylerville, and I thought that she would win. Watching the replay right here, I think she's winning just on talent alone. We came up here and it wasn't things didn't go exactly well. It wasn't that they didn't go to plan, but it was hard to figure out how to get her up here the right way because Churchill kicked us out. I would have liked to come up here and not even breeze, have my final work at Churchill, bring her up here 2 or 3 days before the race and just run. Fortunately, we couldn't do that this year because of the circumstances with Churchill. So I had to send her up here, breeze her basically right off the van, easy, slow work, was kind of nervous about how slow she worked, and she got the job done regardless. So that's why I have, in my opinion, she's going to run a much, much better race in the spinaway on tomorrow.
Talk a little bit about that because I'm looking at the works. Obviously, we've had her up here now working back on August 15th, a 58 and change, a bullet on August 22nd. So it seems like in the morning she has kind of blossomed up here.
She, ever since that, she ran, I thought she ran an okay race in the Schuylerville. I think she's going to run a really, really good race in the spinaway. She's done everything right. She's had works over the main track here on the actual main track side. She likes it over there. She looks like she's put on weight. She's grown up. We have a great post position. And I just think these horses that are in there with her are really going to have to be able to run if they're going to run with her.
Well, you are meeting the monster, though, in Echo Zoo.
I understand that. And at the very least, we've got, to me, an advantageous post position with her because they're going to go and we're going to get to press her the entire way instead of vice versa. So I'll take our chances.
7 furlongs?
I think she's fine. Like I understand that she's won on the lead both starts. She doesn't have to win on the lead. She won on the lead both starts because she was the fastest horse in those two races and we didn't want to get in her way. You're going to see a different dimension on Sunday.
Very good. So we wish you a lot of good luck tomorrow afternoon in the spinaway. Before we let you go, I just wanted to catch up on a couple other nice horses that you've had going back a little earlier in the meet. Stolen Base. We're going to watch this one here. Stolen Base is going to be the winner. Buckingham Prince is going to run second. That's your horse. Nice little second place finish earlier in the meet. Again, this is going back to July 23rd. Buckingham Prince is going to be the number 8 horse in here and pulling up on Equibase. I see there was a recent workout for this one. What might be next for Buckingham Prince?
Yeah, he worked this morning. He got beat this day, but I think that was probably my fault, not his fault. I ran him back quick. He had ran a really good race at Ellis Park, just got beat, probably shouldn't have got beat. Rushed him up here because there was a perfect spot for him in one of those maiden auction races. I ran him back quick right off the van. I think he was probably just a little bit jet lagged, so to speak. He'll come back on the 24th in another maiden auction race at Churchill Downs. He worked really well this morning.
Those races were a great addition, weren't they?
I think so. I mean, anytime you have an opportunity to run more maiden races, to have more horses break their maiden, and give people incentive to run their horses is a good thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, for all the faults that are going on in racing right now, there's tons of two-year-olds. So you got to take advantage of that.
Yeah, and for folks who aren't familiar, they've some tracks have added this condition over the past few seasons where it's limited to a certain auction price and below, so you may not be meeting some of those million-dollar monsters in your first one or two starts. One more I wanted to get some thoughts on and what the future may be on the ones and twos. And first I have to ask, is there a story behind that name that I...
I laugh because we joke about that all the time. So Deuce Greathouse, who picked her out, owns part of her, and his girlfriend Jill named her. And it apparently is something to do with a DJ on the ones and twos, Wicca 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 or something
so,
like that.
So there you go. That's why it was out of my wheel.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm only in my mid-30s. Like, I still don't understand what the hell they're talking about. But I actually have grown to love the name. And this filly...
We're going to watch here the second place finish in the debutante a couple starts back. Behave Virginia, the number 7, wins, but on the ones and twos down at Churchill back on June 26th, runs second. Yeah, picking up.
She should have won this race. She got away poorly, ran wide the whole time into a really hot pace. And really, I'd say 9 times out of 10, you see a horse have that type of trip. They fade and they don't finish. She just got beat here by a decent horse, probably a very good horse. I know Kenny's high on her. And then she came back. Are we going to show a replay of the Adirondack or no?
I didn't pull
okay, well, the Adirondack, I think she just had no shot that day. The track seemed to be extremely speed favoring. We were content with just sitting off of the pace, and she made a run and then flattened out late. And you know what? I don't think she likes it here as much as Churchill. We're going to run her back in the Pocahontas opening weekend there and see her stretch out, which I think is what she wants to do.
Very good. So we'll look for those in the future. And certainly, again, wish you a lot of good luck tomorrow in the spinaway with Pretty Birdie. Norm, appreciate the visit. Appreciate your taking the time on a busy weekend and as a show of appreciation from Capital OTB. And Jacob and Anthony's downtown. There's
Thank
a gift card.
Much.
Go grab a little dinner on us and enjoy it. And we appreciate the visit.
That's why I came.
Very good.
I always know.
Very good. Appreciate it. Norm Cassidy. All right, we'll take a break. Phil Serpy, again, Queen's Plate winner a couple weeks ago. We'll talk about that and more. Stay tuned.
Promotional consideration for Racing Across America provided by Jacob and Anthony's American Grill. Featuring classic American recipes from the past with a modern presentation. Jacob and Anthony's American Grill, 38 High Rock Avenue, Saratoga.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Birdstone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
The Capital Region has some of the most sophisticated horse racing fans in the country. That's why Capital OTB built the Clubhouse Racebook. Here you can wager year-round on the best horse racing from around the world. The Clubhouse also has monthly promotions including live bankrolls, handicapping contests, and so much more. Like sports? Watch your favorite teams on more than 30 screens in Legends Field Sports Grill. Food, sports, and the excitement of championship horse racing only at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Welcome back to Racing Across America, live from Saratoga, as promised before the break. Joined now by trainer Phil Serpy. Been trying to get him in for a couple of weeks after the big victory north of the border. Good morning.
Good morning.
Talk a little bit about the decision, first of all, and we'll watch the stretch run, the Queen's Plate, back on August 22nd. Safe Conduct is going to be the number one horse here. We'll pick it up going into the far turn. Irad Ortiz on board. But talk a little bit about the decision to, you know, I guess if you have a good Ontario bred, you're automatically looking up here. But what was the decision process to take your shot at the Queen's Plate?
You know, we were actually talking about this race last year after he broke his maiden here as a two-year-old. He was pretty impressive in his second start, which was on the turf here at Saratoga. So you got to kind of get on the lines of those thoughts. Unfortunately, he got sick last fall, so it kind of sidelined him for a while, but he came back with a very strong allowance win at Belmont. Ran into a couple of not so favorable racetracks, but the Queen's Plate was always our target from the start of the year.
Yeah, came into it from the Pine Ridge, which is off the turfer, and then the Belmont Derby. The track didn't really work in your favor.
Yeah, it was pretty soft. It was, you know, we had gotten so much rain down at Belmont, and he's a really big horse. He probably weighs in at 1,200 pounds or so, and a lot of times horses like that just can't get through that soft turf. A lot of North American horses aren't really used to that kind of going anyway.
What was your concern going up and trying the synthetic surface at Woodbine?
You know, it was just something nobody knew about. I mean, I used the process of elimination. Didn't like the slop, didn't like the soft turf, gotta like the synthetic. But really, we had nothing to lose by going. The horse came up from Belmont, and when he got here, he just really was training great. And his last work, IRAD worked him on the turf, on the Oklahoma turf course. It was nothing less than fantastic. And at that point, I told my assistant, Lisa, that if you can get him off the van the way we put him on the van, he's going to run big. So fortunately that happened.
And IRAD went up to ride, and we saw the stretch run, and maybe the guys can play the stretch run again, because you had to just be super proud of the horse, because at the top of the stretch it looks like, oh, might get swallowed up here. And not only does it get swallowed up, he kind of opens up again.
Yeah, you know, he does, and then it looks like we're kind of make it, and then, you know, that peripheral vision kicked in, and out of the corner of my eye I see this horse coming from the outside, and probably a good thing he was from the outside, and but he was able to hold on, and you know, the horse did a great job. I'll tell you something, it's the first 100 yards of this race that
you
IRAD
gave him credit because of the post position. You picked last at the draw and wound up with the one.
We had no pick, and everybody that we knew, we have some good friends up in Canada, and don't take the one hole. Whatever you do, don't take the one hole. And we got the one hole. So you know what? It's funny, because when it happened, it didn't really bother me, because this is a big, strong horse. He's got speed, and you get a guy like IRAD on there, you know, he's wound tighter than a drum. He just has it, and he did an incredible job, because he got that horse out of the one hole. He got position, and he never really used the horse. And he needed him late in the race, which he had him. Yeah. So that, it was a great ride. It really was.
And as I say, we watched the run again there. Top of the stretch, you thought, oh, he's going to get swallowed up by about eight horses. And not only that, pulls away. How many horses have you started at Woodbine?
I think that's my third one. We have a win, a second, and an off the board.
No, we're looking at the PPs. Phil Serpy up at the Queens.
Yeah, you know, we're pretty strictly New York, or, you know, in the old days, New Jersey and Florida. And but, you know, when opportunity comes up, you have to take it. You know, it's a beautiful place and a nice track, and, you know, we're heading back there for the turf.
I was going to say, is now the game plan to pursue the Triple Crown up there?
Well, no, the Triple Crown, you know, we did not nominate to the dirt race. We just, we spoke about this. We felt we needed to go a mile and a half on the turf October 3rd. You know, the thing about this race, their Triple Crown versus the Triple Crown in the United States is, you know, it's three different, yeah. It's not the distance, it's three different surfaces. And that's a lot to ask out of any horse, only because, you know, it's not a matter of how good they are, as if they'll run on that surface or not. We put all the pros and cons together and just decided that it was best for our horse and everybody involved with him to shoot for the turf race. It's a mile and a half at Woodbine, beautiful turf course. And we can't wait to get him up there.
So has he been back here and working here? How's he
doing? Yeah, he got back here the day after the race. We gave him a couple extra days off, which might have been a mistake, because he was like airborne on the track the other day. He's really doing well. I mean, just perfect.
Well, congratulations again on the Queen's Plate victory, and good luck going forward with Safe Conduct. But always like to get a little push as well, and we'll do that with the finale this afternoon. You have King Angelo. And I wanted to talk about that, not just because in today, but we're going to go back and look August 14th, King Angelo, number five horse here, and gets it done.
I'm going to need to correct you on something.
Okay.
You're looking at Sundays.
Oh, Sunday. Okay, Sunday. So we'll get a little push on Sunday then. That's fine.
We love King Angelo. The only thing we're not sure about King Angelo yet is if he's a dirt horse or a turf horse, because he's just an outstanding horse. From the time, it's funny. When he came in as a 2-year-old, he was just here a couple of weeks, And I told his owner, Tom Ferrone, I said, you know, I said, I don't know what it is about this horse. I said, but there's something good about this horse. And as his work started to progress, all of a sudden they're like filming him on XBTV and all, whatever it's called. And, you know, and we really think a lot of him. So we're excited about running him back tomorrow. Yeah. Turf or dirt, it doesn't matter to me as long as he's a nice horse. So.
Yeah, you get middle of the field to the sixth post. And again, tomorrow, it's the 12th race tomorrow with King Angelo. But coming out of the nice victory there, that was a nice win. Joel Rosario on board that day. Luis Saez, nothing wrong with getting Luis on board.
No, Joel was out of town. You know, he wanted to ride the horse back. Luis has always been a good rider. We've done really well, especially up here at Saratoga. So we're excited to have him. He can I believe he's still leading rider.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
he can handle it.
Yeah, shooting for the record. Actually, I think he needs 8 wins to get be tough over 3 days, but the way he's going, yeah. I'm not counting him out.
Yeah,
but again, Phil, congratulations on the Queen's Plate victory. Good luck on the starters you have this weekend. King Angelo looking pretty good in the finale tomorrow, Sunday. But appreciate your stopping by and in the show of appreciation from Capital OTB and Jacob Nanthi's downtown. Here's a gift card.
Oh, thank
you. Go enjoy a little dinner on us. And as they say, good luck on the weekend.
Thanks very much.
Trainer Phil Serpy with some runners this weekend. But as I say, wanted to get him in to talk a little bit about the win north of the border in the Queen's Plate a couple of weeks ago. We'll take a break. When we come back, our interview from Thursday with Steve Asmussen. Stay tuned.
Promotional consideration for Saturdays at the Spa provided by Jacob and Anthony's American Grill. Featuring classic American recipes from the past with a modern presentation. Jacob and Anthony's American Grill, 38 High Rock Avenue, Saratoga.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
I'm Seth Merrill, and as Serious Horse Players, we know that information is critical when placing a bet. With live streaming of more than 30 tracks, race replays, free past performances, and daily picks from professional handicappers, no one gives you more up-to-the-minute information than Capital OTB. Combine that with the best player awards in New York State, and you have everything a Serious Horse Player needs to be successful.
Win more with Capital OTB.
Winning starts here.
It's always busy. We appreciate your stopping over. Good morning.
Oh, thank you very much. Glad to be on.
Happy to have you on to talk a little bit about, obviously, last weekend, maybe a little bit of a preview of what's coming up. But before we do that, I wanted to go back a little earlier in the season and also a little earlier in the year as well. But first, I just want to go back a couple of weeks ago. We're going to take a look at Stellar Tap on August 7th, winning the fifth race. But also, there's a little cut-in of you and the family. This was the record breaker, the career win mark that you passed Dale Baird, 9,446. Reflect a little bit, now that you've had a couple of weeks, reflect on the record and what it meant in that day with the whole family there, and they brought in your mom and your dad.
Yeah, it was well. More than amazing. You know, we've been aiming at it for a long time, and for it to come together under the circumstances that it did here at Saratoga with the fans back, as much as I wanted it, actually getting it done and getting it done here is even better than I imagined. And I think just the importance of the fans and being back, especially after last year, and just how wonderful everybody's been, about the record and it happening here. It's special.
We may have some video also of you in the winner's circle with the commemorative lawn jockey. And again, there you are with the family and whatnot. How did you make it happen here? Because we were kind of following along, and you had horses in about five different venues leading into it.
You know, by the grace of God. I mean, it was just meant to be. You know, things are bigger. You know, the moment's bigger than we are. And the way that it happened, you talk about we're here celebrating our success. We had 14 in that day. That was the only winner, you know? By the grace of God, that's how that happened.
It really was great.
Well, you know, just like that, the circumstances that allowed, you know, the whole family, you know, Julie and all three of the boys to be here, you know, my mom and dad, just it's been very special, and we've relived it continuously since. We really have.
You kind of alluded to it. You said we were kind of aiming for it for a while, but I'm curious because, you know, I've had plenty of trainers here, owners here, jockeys here, and they'll aim for a meet title. That's very attainable. I had Mark Cassie a couple of weeks ago. He's, like you, comes from a horse racing family,
right.
And he said he visited the museum and said, I'm going to be there someday, the Hall of Fame. And you can kind of make that as a career goal. But a career goal, when you start, you can't say, oh, I'm going to be the winningest of all time. When does that hit your radar?
In the mid-90s, before you were winning. I just grew up in very unique circumstances to, you know, even racing in the Midwest and on a lower level, but was associated and got to start the Winchell horses back then through my dad, and, you know, just saw what they did. And then I've got a older brother everybody's very familiar with, Cash, you know, leading rider in New York, you know, going to Europe, and Golden Whip. You know, you when you're surrounded by that, you want that and more of it. And the win total to me is so important, because money will always change with inflation, but wins can only come one at a time, and that's why it was always so significant to me.
Yeah, they had a great graphic today. You did it on the national show of you compared to some Hall of Fame coaches with all-time wins.
Yeah, I saw the graphic on there, and it just racing and the great people that are involved in it, and growing up my whole life, and how much respect I have for the people that do this, and anybody who does it realizes how hard any race is to win. You know, like I said, I aimed at it for a long time. It means the world to me. And getting it done even feels better than I thought it would.
And you said the fans being back up here and saying
it's
super special.
It
because
really
they're
was.
So knowledgeable up here.
As you put it, and you just, and everywhere you go, it just, like you said, it's continuous, it's genuine, and I think especially, which even makes it better, is the pandemic let us know what we were missing.
That's a great point.
You know, it let us know what we were missing, and then you came back here, and it was just the excitement. It just simply means more because, as you put it, the Saratoga racing right now is nobody can compare to it. I mean, it's the top, and feels like it, and the fans know that, and they appreciate it.
Maybe even more.
Any time you get anything done here, the emphasis was there.
Yeah, it was one of the highlights of the meet, certainly, to see you get the record. I pulled up last night from Echo Base. You've added another 34 wins since then, so the train keeps rolling.
We're in a great position right now. We've got the best owners in the game, and some of the best horses, and they're running like it.
And you talked about family, and that's one of the things I wanted to also bring up going back earlier in the year, because we sit in, and the rest of the year I handicap races during the afternoon on television from our studio down in Albany. We do tracks around the country. I love Oaklawn. I love the Oaklawn racing. As a bettor, I love to bet it. But certainly the Arkansas Derby made for one of the better stories of the year. We have the stretch run to the Arkansas Derby, and we're going to watch number one Superstock win. And this brings in the family, because your dad, your mom and dad, part owners, grade one, $1 million race. But as I say, it's one of the great stories of the year, because it's kind of serendipity that they owned the horse to win a big race like this. Talk
about
it.
Very much so. You know, my dad, you know, owned other grade one winners just earlier in their career and just sold them. And the pandemic created a lot of circumstances for the horse Superstock as well. In the fact that he was scheduled to be in an in-training sale, per usual, for, you know, Dad Nerve's young horses. And it with the pandemic in, the sale was canceled. At that time, another element to it is my oldest son, Keith, who's named after my father, was exercising horses for us at Lone Star, where the horse was at. And him being out of school, the scale of weights being inflated a bit without the sweat boxes and all, allowed for him to get to ride that horse. I mean, he just and actually won his first race, the Superstock's first race in a stakes race. So the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, it's just amazing. And here we have
when Keith rode him in the
Texas Futurity. Yep. And which was last August. Were you there or were you up here?
No, I was there that day. I was. You can be excited for racing and nervous for races, but nothing is like legging your own son up on a horse. It was a feeling I had never experienced before.
That's a great story. Subsequently, just a couple of weeks ago, he won the Ellis Park Derby.
Yes, he did. I was glad to see Superstock get back on track, and I think he'll finish out the year well. You know, he's got Remington Derby late September to run in. He's training really well. He'll obviously be one of the favorites for that, but Superstock's going to finish off the year well.
But as I say, a great story with the whole family involved and whatnot. And just reflect a little bit, because we saw your mom and dad there when you got the record, they had beamed them in. And normally when I get folks in here, because I think we have so many new fans that tune in, I like to kind of introduce them to the jockeys and the trainers and whatnot, and I ask, how'd you get into the game? Clearly, you got to do it reading the bio info.
Yeah.
Not only were you involved, I read you were mucking stalls at about five, but dad and mom were involved.
Absolutely.
In the game.
I come from a mom and pop organization. Exactly. You know, my mom was the trainer, my dad was the jockey. And, you know, me and one older brother, as everyone knows, Cash, and we were the help. You know, I mean, and there wasn't daycare, it was do something. And, being able to be around that and involved with that. I think that you talked about Superstock. The Arkansas Derby, wouldn't it be great to win a race of that caliber? If your parents, you're thinking about it. It's another thing. When it happened, it was just so much bigger. And it was because of the love and respect that everybody, how genuinely happy everybody I knew was for my parents to be in that position. And it was beyond special. And being in it, active in it and stuff, you know, being there, I had didn't watch the coverage, and somebody had sent me the following day my mom's interview from after the race, and it was no wonder me and Cash have been successful on the level we have with that kind of support.
Yeah, as you say, she was a trainer, and did I read you one? What was first woman to win a major
horse triple crown, the Rainbow Futurity. It was 178. I actually was the groom of that horse, and I guess there's a photo on the wall in the Ridosa where we spent all our summers and stuff like that that has kind of made the rounds since then. But who'd have known that then?
And it was amazing too. Your dad was a regular rider for Wayne Lucas.
Long association with Wayne and back in south in the Dakotas and stuff like that, and actually moved south. They were traveling show, to say the least. But you know, who can say enough about what Mr. Lucas has done for horse racing?
So again, it's clear to see where your roots are. And also, just it kind of dawned on me as I was going through the stats and everything. Your mom and dad have produced two Eclipse winners.
That's pretty amazing.
That's crazy.
You know, for them to have two kids and for not only to have two Eclipse winners, but one as a rider and one as a trainer. That's kind of got the field covered. So, you know, it's a little, that'll be hard to match. Yeah. That really will be.
Still have the training center down in Texas.
Well, absolutely. You know, and we've had a lot of the success you've seen. You know, Jackie's Warrior with his another grade one win. You know, the two-year-olds that have come from there this year, you know, continues to put out hopefully champions. You know, put me and Cash on the list of the other ones they've already produced there.
Also wanted to ask you, as I say, during the year, I'm down doing the handicapping show, and we do a bunch of different tracks, and I'm seeing more and more your name as not just trainer, but owner. And I'm wondering, is that a business decision, or is it kind of fun to play the claiming game, which is kind of a chess match? And so, hey, okay, I made the right move here. And
owning horses and stuff like that allows you unbelievable flexibility and mobility. You know, anybody call you up and got a few horses to send you, you know what to move. It allows me to you know, keep the help that I want. And there are plenty of good purses. You know, you see the purses at Oakland and stuff. You know, Texas has rebounded nicely and stuff. So not only does it give you a tremendous amount of leverage from a mobility standpoint, you know, filling races, doing favors, but help. They're starting to run for purses that make a lot of sense.
Now, we look at some of these maiden races for $100,000 now,
yeah,
around the country.
Exactly.
It's insane. What do you think about the extended Oakland season?
I think it helps us, you know, a great deal. Oakland, Kentucky, you know, Oakland, Churchill, Saratoga have got purses at a level that has the elite horses. And when you're the Churchill Fall Meet ending in November, Oakland starting up December 4th, it running until Derby Day, when Churchill quits, get to go sort of, you know, I think that it will raise the level of horses, the level of trainers, and the level of jockeys on that circuit. And it was just, where do you draw it? When the meet was starting in mid-January, I think people had committed to going other places. With them starting early December, I think it'll only allow and make all three of the jurisdictions stronger.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it because, like I said, I really love the Oakland racing. Just before we get to last weekend and a little preview.
I think that changed. You can tell this year, you know, in years previously, you come up to Saratoga and the older conditioned races were dominated by the New York horses. And this year, they're being dominated by the Kentucky horses. You know, the young horses, we've always been extremely good at that and ready and we have the right horses. But this is the first year you can really, I actually believe that the conditioned older horses, the Churchill horses, have been the strongest.
Yeah, that's a great point. Before I, as I say, do a little preview and review, I just wanted to touch on one other thing I had in the notes and whatnot. For folks who may not know, you started your career as a jockey.
Yeah, when your older brother's cash, that's what you're thinking's going to happen.
Did you think, this is going to be my career, or did you always know there's a time?
No, I was ignorant enough to be upset when I got too big to ride, you know? But it's a wonderful to have had that experience. And, you know, Dad, my father rode until his 50s. You know, he was riding competitively in races and stuff. Cash rode until he's 40, you know, always stayed a part of it that way. But obviously young, I thought I would be a jockey, you know. And
you were in New York for a while.
Yeah, I had the bug up here. You know, Chuck Delfredo had my book, did as good as he possibly could with it, you know. But when you walk out of the room and they're usually about 4 or 5 inches taller than the trainer, I think it's limited. It's funny, you back then when you're 16 years old, why wouldn't they ride you? Now if I had to look up a jockey, I wouldn't be riding him either.
But as I say, folks can look at it. What, 70-some wins you had, something like that?
If it wasn't for Equibase, I'd tell better stories. But I think it's got my win percentage. It's 63 wins, I think, or something, from 700 rides.
The negative side of technology.
All right, that's right.
Let's get to some of last week. And I played because I took a little video of you in the Winner's Circle on Sunday. I played you talking about the Forego and Yaupon and Frenzy Fire, and it seemed like you had a big smile on your face. You said, I'm going to watch that replay a number of times. You had the same reaction the fans had because everybody has talked about that race since. We're going to watch the stretch run. Frenzy Fire wants to take a little chunk out of Yaupon. Yaupon will have none of it, though, as far as giving up. Gets the decision by a head. Yaupon, the number 7. Frenzy Fire, the number 8. Not hard to pick out here in this situation. What were you thinking as they were coming down the stretch?
Yeah, honestly, knowing what's at stake, Yaupon just an amazing physical and actually is going off the favorite in the Forego is because of his talent and who he is. But at that point, he'd not won a grade one. So you're just like, come on, let's just get this grade one in there and then discuss what happened later. But it's very unique. Watched it a lot. Listened to a whole bunch of people talk about what was happening. But I'm going to go with the analogy that Mike Tyson didn't bite Holyfield because the fight was going his way. All right? I've heard enough about Frenzy Fire was going to beat him. If Frenzy Fire thought he was going to beat him, he wouldn't have needed to bite him.
That's a great point. Somebody walk up to me yesterday and make exactly that point. Just a fan walked up to me and said, everybody said he would have won. He didn't fret about it. It's like you're a football game and you're getting beat. You go and you pull the quarterback's arm.
Yeah, it wasn't right. He didn't think I better bite him because I got him. It was because he didn't have him. You know, so enough, you know.
As I say, though, again, having the fans back this year, last year was so unfortunate they missed some of the great performances, but that they were here Saturday for something like that, that is going to be a lifetime horse racing memory, was a lot of fun. And then just a race later, again, another stakes sprint victory in the Allen Jerkins. We're going to watch number two, Jackie's Warrior, getting it done. And Jackie's Warrior over Life is Good. Life is Good took a big early lead. What were your thoughts as they kind of came around the turn? What was your confidence level turning into the stretch?
I watched this race from way up the stretch. I was extremely excited, nervous about this potential matchup, and it lived up to the billing. And I was just so proud. Joel, the confidence Joel showed in Jackie, just to let him be comfortable and stuff. And from my vantage point, when they came into the stretch, Jackie's Warrior was very comfortable, and you knew he was going to run from there. He hadn't exerted himself to stay close. I mean, it wasn't like he was getting outfooted. I think that it showed another dimension for Jackie's Warrior. I felt that his success at Saratoga had been he had completely run them off their feet around the turn. Yeah. You know, when you watch the races here and why is he so effective at Saratoga, he's going fast, but Joel's comfortable, but he's also on the lead. But when you look back at the rest of the field in his races, they're all out. You know what I mean? They're out of their game, and that's it. And for him to be, matched to the head of the stretch as far as within their comfort zone and then finish up from there, I think that the chart's just a tad inaccurate on it from watching at it. It talked about Jackie getting back to him and then Life is Good coming back on. But you can see there's several videos from the inside. And Jackie's Warrior doesn't make the lead until about the last five or six jumps. And so, you know, how comfort is that? And then numerous things that we love about Jackie's Warrior is every one of his races, when he goes by the wire, he just slows up. He liked that. Let's go take a picture. Gallivant, that's not for money. That's for other people.
It's smart. So
he's unbelievably intelligent. And I think that showed a new dimension for him to be not in his customary position. I mean, everybody knows the mistake that we made in the Woody Stevens, you know, when he was crowded or whatever away from there and then got in a hurry to get in his customary position. This time he didn't get in a hurry to get where he needed to be. It just, it was one continuous movement, and the success from it makes us dream big.
And you were asked in the winner's circle, you know, were you worried about Life is Good? And I think he commented, yeah, we saw him train.
No, right. I mean, he was, prohibitive favorite, no comparison as far as coming into the year as far as three-year-olds. I mean, Central Quality wasn't the favorite for the Derby. Life is Good was until he got hurt because of his numbers, how fast he's running, and how dominant he's doing, you know. And then he trained, as everybody here reported, he's training is impressive, if not more so than anybody on the grounds. You know who he is, but Jackie's Warriors, there's not many of that, you know. Just he's got a physical... He's got a class level and the physical ability to match it.
How'd Yalpon and Jackie come out of the race, and do you have plans for them?
Unbelievably pleased with how they came out of it. A lot of discussion between now and the Breeders' Cup as far as what to do. It's obvious Yalpon likes to be fresh. You know, he most strong chance of him just training up to the Breeders' Cup. Jackie's Warrior will have one more race before the Breeders' Cup. And then there'll be a 2-3 week window in there to try to work it in, travel arrangements when we want to get out. All of that will lead into where he runs next.
I also wanted to go back to Saturday and show the Travers, because everybody kind of agrees this was a big, really big performance from Midnight Bourbon. Went out, took the lead, just could not hold off the grinding Essential Quality. Essential Quality is number two horse, Midnight Bourbon the number one. I'm guessing you had to be very happy with this performance, though.
Absolutely. You know, 23-1 the last quarter. You know, the last horse to come home in a dirt mile and a quarter in 23-1 is Secretariat's Derby. I mean, and extremely proud of Bourbon, mainly because he kept his head in the game, considering what happened to him at Monmouth, and for him to show that kind of fight, no hesitation. I thought Ricardo gave him a drink. a great ride. Essential Quality is the champion and the leader of the division, and deservedly so, and he ran a great race to win. I thought, you know, watching that race and watching the tape of it, Midnight Bourbon down the backside, with it, as relaxed as he was, his ears straight forward, it was just absolutely beautiful. Couldn't be any more proud of him. You know, he's coming. You know, he's a horse we've always liked. We've talked about after the Preakness, I thought we were in this position. Then things obviously went awry at Monmouth, and thank goodness that he has recovered from that. And I think we're back on track with him, but the sky's the limit. He's an exceptional three-year-old, but he's going to be a great four-year-old.
Yeah, made the three-year-old champ do all he had to work to get the win. And I read you're maybe looking at the Pennsylvania Derby. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, that's a possibility. It is. I was extremely pleased with how he went back to the track. And I mean, Scott and Wilson, who gets on him and stuff, we were talking after, man, he came out of this thing good. And Scott said, yeah, helps when you don't fall. you know what I mean? Yeah, you know, I mean, he just very lively, horse proud of himself, felt good on the racetrack. I was glad, you know, he's a big, strong horse. And I think he's went the right way from that hard race. He's stayed in the feed tub. He's felt good. And the weather, like this morning, last couple of days, has been nice and cool in the mornings, showing a lot of energy.
Very good. So we'll look for him next. Wanted to pull up one more from last weekend, because you talk about an embarrassment of riches on the sprint side, the two sprint stakes wins. But then on Sunday, you come back in an allowance optional claimer. Old Liam gets the job done, going to be the number two horse in here. And this was just, you know, third career start, third win. This is just turning into a nice special horse, too. Ricardo Santana on board. Give me your impressions of Bold Liam and what might be next for him.
Well, you know, what a fast horse. He's very aggressive training, does a lot. You could see pretty light work, spaced quite a bit between his races. I think that the way, as tenacious as he was here opening week going 7/8, and we had a very different racetrack opening week here, I think that our target's going to be the Cigar Mile for him. And I believe that the right prep for him from a timing standpoint is the ACAC at Churchill. A flat mile, October 2nd, plenty of time off of this race. And I think from his first to his second race, second to a third race, I think we're a lot more comfortable right now. As far as when he went back to the track, I think that he's settling into us a little better. And, I mean, his numbers are, I don't know what you could possibly want from somebody in three races. And you talk about another Stone Street homebred. You know, this one they do own, but the meat that they've had. You know, Midnight Bourbon's a Stone Street homebred as well, you know, and Silver State, some of those horses. But he's another one of them. And I think that wouldn't it be beautiful if he was grade one winner by the end of the year?
Yeah, we'll look forward to that. Again, what we saw up here in a couple performances certainly validates there is some talent there. You mentioned Stone Street. I'm just going to ask you, because I had it on my notes and had it a little bit later, but since you mentioned Stone Street, I will ask you, and it's always tough for trainers when I ask this, but do you have a favorite horse? But if not that, maybe a favorite race or a favorite memory? And I bring it up in tied with Stone Street, because one of my all-time favorite racing memories, certainly a race up here, was Rachel and the Woodward.
Yeah, they're so unique, and you say that, not just the embarrassment of riches, as you say. You know, we've been so blessed, but Super Stock, you know, winning for my parents, winning a stake with my son on him, you know, that is a very emotional moment for how happy you are for who you're. You know, for your family and stuff, and being a part of that. Rachel Alexander was such a unique horse from my perspective, because I had never run a horse that everybody was on her side. When you run Midnight Bourbon, you have fans. When you run Jackie's Warrior, you have fans. When you run Rachel, I mean, that was such a community horse. I mean, and deservedly so. Running Rachel was different than any horse I've ever led over there, even all the great horses we've had.
I put a video on YouTube the day of that race, because I was standing behind the clubhouse boxes, and there was a whole row of people in front of me, and I took my camera, and I thought, just what you said. Everybody's forced. So I caught the stretch run, and you get the infectiousness. I had Tom Durkin in a couple of weeks ago, and he said, up in the booth, you could feel the whole place. Everybody was forced.
Oh, the first quarter was 22 4/5 seconds. There'll be no free ride for Rachel Alexandra. They're making her work for every step today. DeTerra has sent her through a punishing opening quarter mile. Past the point on the outside, runs along in third. In behind them, Cool Coleman is fourth. It's a bird fifth on the outside in Bulls Bay. 46-2 was the half mile. Calvin Burrell was able to slow that pace down just a little bit, but they move into the far turn. There's a half mile to go. Rachel Alexandra still holding that lead. Past the point, trying to get to her. The lead is now a length. On the inside, it is Cool Coleman running in third. It's a bird is fourth. Asiatic Boy is launching a bit from the back of the pack. And Macho again is firing too. They're coming to the top of the stretch. It is still the filly in front. A dramatic stretch drive awaits in the Woodward Stakes. On the outside, here's Bulls Bay and Calvin Morrell imploring his filly for more. And Rachel Alexandra holds on to the lead. Bulls Bay is second. Macho again is making a tremendous run for the back of the pack. Rachel Alexandra, Macho again. They're coming down to the finish. It's going to be desperately close. Here's the wire. Rachel won. She is indeed Rachel Alexandra, the great. Beating Macho again here, and farther back, Bulls Bay was third. The time was 1:48:01. Rachel Alexandra raises the rafters here at the Spa.
What a whirlwind! When Hal Wiggins and the Hatter in the Oaks came, you know, the hint that you could possibly wire Jeff pulling the trigger. This Oaks to Preakness is 15 days. Changing hands, getting there. There was the possibility of her not getting to run if the race overfills because she was an original Triple Crown nominee. She gets in. She's 13. All of this. You're feeling all of this. All the whirlwind of that. When we walked out of the stakes barn over to the paddock for the Preakness, that wave of affection for her hit me for the first time. It is impossible to compare that to anything else in racing.
Yeah, and as I said, that's one of my favorite memories up here, because she got hit early, she got hit late.
And she more than proved anything you would ever want any horse to prove on the grandest stage possible. I mean, they're not going to give it to her today, came through. You know,
yeah,
what a moment!
The whole place erupted. Yes. All right, let me just spend a couple of minutes before we let you go to kind of preview what's coming up this weekend. Jockey Club Gold Cup, you have Max Player in. We're going to pull up the Suburban on July 3rd. Max Player is going to be the number 5 horse. Comes in off of that nice win, 101 buyer that afternoon. How's he coming into the race? What do you expect on Saturday for Max Player?
Training extremely well. You know, just so proud of the race he ran in the Suburban. Ricky did such a good job getting him in position and giving him a chance. You know, I need the Jockey Club Gold Cup to prove that it's not Belmont Park, not that it's the off track, but he's trained extremely well. And then watching Midnight Bourbon run so well in the Travers, that work he had with Midnight Bourbon a couple weeks ago makes me feel a lot better about it.
Is that something you kind of rely on a little bit when you work horses in a team? And one does.
I do. No, 100%. Yeah. You know, Yalpon and Jackie's Warriors worked that same morning, you know, as Midnight Bourbon and Max Player did. You felt extremely good about it, but I think who they're working with validates what you're looking at.
Yeah, absolutely. As players, we always look at that too, but I wonder what the trainer's perspective. But Echo Zulu, we're going to take a look at the July 15th, very early in the Saratoga meet. A wow performance. You know, when you have two-year-olds up at Saratoga, we're always waiting for this kind. We got it very early in the meet. Echo Zulu is going to be the number 7 horse here. You say you have her coming back in the spinaway this weekend. What are your thoughts on her? This phenomenal debut effort, but how'd she come out? How's she going into the spinaway?
She's going into the spinaway great. You know, this talented filly going in, the gun runners have been unbelievable in the afternoon. We liked them in the morning, and they've all run better in the afternoon than they were even training. You know, what a great sign for a young horse. But she runs 11 rag that day, runs a 92 buyer Adirondack. Too quick back for a filly off of those kind of numbers. yet knowing how hard it is to win the spin away with only one run in you here at Saratoga. But she obviously has an elite talent level, and maybe she can be the exception to that rule, but she's a very good filly going forward.
Yeah, as they say, that was one of the wow 2-year-old performances of the year, so looking forward to that. In the hopeful, you had three in the entry, in the pre-entries, the nominations. You're going to go with Gunite. I want to touch on the other two before we get to that, though. Stellar Tap, who won a little earlier in the meet, and Guntown. We were talking with Anthony Mormino and Brian Addo before we went on the air here, talking a little bit about the big performance last time out by Guntown down at Ellis. It looks like Stellar Tap and Guntown, you're pointed to Churchill with them.
Absolutely. I think both of those horses, it's time to get them in a two-turn race. Stellar Tap wins a very important race to me, 9,446. He'll always be that horse. But he did it against a very talented group of two-year-olds at 7/8 of a mile. I think with him being a tap, it very important. We know that two-year-old stakes up here at Saratoga, 44 and change, 45. It's just not a tempo I want him in. I think he's obviously very handy and capable because of his ability, but I think it's in his best interest to get him moved to a two-turn race, try to keep him, 47 and change, 48 first half mile, and he'll be extremely effective because he has a lot at stake going forward. You mentioned Guntown. Guntown has the exact same first two races as Midnight Bourbon did last year. Ran 7/8 of a mile at Ellis Park in the first 7/8 mile, was third in that race, came back and then won the first mile dirt race written there, and did it to being a rags guy. He runs a 14 rag over a mile for a two-year-old. That makes him pretty serious. But the exciting part about Guntown being Untappable's half-brother, he is a monster physical that races, and time is going to help.
And Iroquois likely.
And both of those colts are aimed at the Iroquois. The timing of it for them, but the two turns. That both of those horses need to get to two turns.
Gunite, though, aimed for the hopeful this weekend, comes out of the second last time in the Saratoga Special. What are your thoughts for that one?
Well, I think my concerns in the spinaway with Echo Zulu in her only one race like the season is what makes Gunite so formidable in the hopeful. He's battle-tested, has the races, and we're aware of Wit being the fastest horse out there, most accomplished two-year-old as far as how fast he's already run, but Gunite being battle tested will prove worthy to anybody.
And just before I let you go, because we've talked about a couple of these now, by Gun Runner, a horse you train, and I pulled up some stats here. This was kind of amazing the way he wound up his career. He wins the Foster, the Whitney, the Woodward, the Breeders' Cup Classic, and the Pegasus to wind up his career. I think $5 million in the bank.
But like I said, I mentioned a couple of times, being a rags person, his sheet from fall two-year-old to the Pegasus is a beautiful crescendo. And for his race here in the Whitney, picking up the extra shoe, the Woodward.
Oh, that's right in the tail. The Woodward here,
which, that was one of the, visually. That was fast. I mean, for a mile and an eighth at Saratoga, him finishing up, that was tremendous. And then for him to win the Breeders' Cup at Del Mar, the style in which he did it, nothing that week was winning from where he customarily was and how he ran them off their feet. And then to take a little bit of a stallion showcase break and then resume training to dominate the Pegasus. So what, like you said, the way he finished out his racing career is phenomenal.
And that has to be super gratifying the way he's got his
absolutely.
Stud career.
So proud of it on a level that you almost be a parent.
Yeah. Well put. Steve, we really appreciate the visit. Extended time. I didn't realize we were going to go that long, but I appreciate it. I know how busy it is up here at Saratoga. And to show some of our appreciation from Capital OTB and Pinnell's Restaurant right down the corner.
All right,
a gift
man,
card to Pinnell. So
right,
enjoy some dinner on us.
Appreciate it.
Good luck on the remainder of the meet.
Thank you very much. Always glad to be here.
Final consideration for Saturdays at the Spa provided by Pinnell's Restaurant. A 99-year tradition of serving the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga. just minutes from the track.
Here's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing. Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. We will wrap it up as my computer, I can see, Talking Horses just got underway. There's an early post time today. That's why they started early, 12:35. Keep that in mind if you're headed here or whatever venue you choose. They kick off today at Saratoga, 12:35, and that'll kind of be the game plan through the weekend with the 12 race cards. Thanks again to Steve Asmussen for stopping by. Extended interview. You know, I usually think in my head 15 or 20 minutes with everybody. We got going, and it just kept rolling, so we appreciate Steve taking the time to sit in with us on Thursday morning. Also appreciate Norm Cassie and Phil Serpy stopping by live today. The show doesn't go without the guests, and we appreciate everybody who swung by at the meet, and we'll continue to do so over the next couple of days here on the network. Don't forget, there's a Pick 3 bankroll today. You can check the website. There still may be some openings as far as putting your name in the hat to get selected. The team is randomly selected, but it still may be open. Check the website on that for the Pick 3 bankroll. We'll try to get everybody some cash money today with the bankroll plays. I'll put those together. Tomorrow, I know, is still open, the show pool. I can't guarantee it will work out like last week, which was insane. But we will try to make the show pool work again tomorrow on the closing Sunday of the meet. So check out the website. Put your name in the hat for the show pool tomorrow. Also, don't forget the Clubhouse Racebook today. It's a fan appreciation day. The first 100 folks through the door get a $2 quick pick on the Jockey Club Gold Cup. There'll also be some free food and beverages available early on in the afternoon while supplies last all today. Fan appreciation. Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Same spot. You can do the Play the Board contest today. So take advantage of that this afternoon. Tomorrow at the Racebook, it's a pick four and a match bet promotion. So again, 711 Central Avenue in Albany over the weekend. Some extra fun available on this Saturday and Sunday. All right, as I say, they have kicked off with Talking Horses, so I'm going to wrap it up for Racing Across America for this Saturday Jockey Club Gold Cup Day morning at Saratoga. Had a fun morning. Hopefully you've had a fun morning as well. More importantly, hopefully it's a fun and lucrative afternoon. We'll be back in tomorrow for Handicapper Support at 9. Special guest handicapper, the Mig, Richard Migliori, will join us tomorrow at 9, 10 o'clock. Loose on the Lead with return of Steve Bick. All of that tomorrow on the network. We'll see you then.
You've been watching Racing Across America. Racing Across America has been brought to you by... Racing Across America is brought to you by... Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga. Just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com. the premier wagering site in New York State, and the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Not claiming horses on July 9th at Belmont to run closing weekend. You claim them for